Yes, I've been into this the whole month, actually. Discovering all the aristocrats that were behind the surrealists.
Yeah.
Like the Vicomte de Noailles. And also there was another guy that was before, in the 18th century, called François Racine de Monville. He built a garden, a Chinese-English garden, and he has a huge column that was the house, but it's a broken column, but huge. Then he has a Chinese house, a pyramid, and different things like that in the garden. Yeah. It used to be private. Now one can visit. Mm-hmm. And all the important royals will go there, and like Marie Antoinette, and they say they will get some type of initiation in these places, in these different. And I discovered there are pyramids in France from antiquity and from modern times in many places, not only like the one in the Louvre. And all these people were into different secret societies. And I think what they were trying to do after the Gutenberg galaxy made us so rational, they started putting all these nonsense that they call the surrealist. Also, the surrealists all went to that garden of Francine Racine Mobile. So it's like these artists were in contact with these aristocrats of secret societies. And there is a lot going on besides what we think is happening, also now. They were trying again to show that there is no time, that we do this parallel world traveling, and all this was put, it was put cultivated as dreams, or as like in the case of Cocteau, fairy tales, or in comics. And there is this other guy that is more recent, Jacques Verdier, the one that wrote the book of the Morgan of the Magicians.
Yes, yeah, I have that book, yeah.
I saw an interview with him, and it's really interesting because he says the really important people always are never known. And he talks about the superior unknown.
Yeah.
And the eight eternals in China, and he says the real person governing France was somebody that seems to be not important, that has a little unimportant bureaucratic job, and he's actually the one that is controlling things and behind the economic power in Germany, the economic miracle that was another German that was not known. And he says he will like to be like that, like an unknown, but for that you need special genetic. He says like that in the interview. And it's really interesting because he studied chemistry, but he was in the Secret Service. And well, he was first in the French Resistance, and when he was in the concentration camp, he met many important people. And after the liberation, he was into secret service, and he won a lot of things, like the Legion of Honor, and he wrote these books because he had access to the X-Files of all countries. So everything he says in his book, he claims that this is true, that it's actually, that his favorite work, he was also like a judge in the military, and he said there he got to see many weird things. It was like more interesting than being in the Secret Service or being a journalist or being whatever, because he has done many things. He did many things. He said that was the most interesting, and that's how he got to see all these X-Files. And he's, for example, a character in a comic, French, Belgian comic called Tintin, and it's called the Flight 714 to Sydney. And in that comic, they cultivate a lot of these things about extraterrestrials, and they say a lot of things like people get hypnotized to forget what they see, what they know. And like in the Cocteau movie, The Testament of Orfeu, when they bring the professor to the judgment, the dead tells him, you are going to wake up and think this was just a dream. And also Orfeus, when he's resuscitated and he thinks it was all a dream, everything that happened was just a dream. But this is actually something they really do, that a lot of people that get involved in these things are made to forget, so that they or they're not supposed to tell anything they know, or they get killed, and this is the case of the 9/11 and Kennedy, that there are other things going on, and so much people has to be killed in order to keep the secret. And Trump and Ion are actually now into the revelation, into making all these files also public. But I think like what Cocteau was trying to do with his films was to show that there is no time. And he used a lot of reverse sequences, so that to start cultivating these possibilities in the mind of people of that was educated with the Gutenberg galaxy and thought things were linear. And they do this mix of times. And that's why he also used a lot of the mythic legends, because he said these type of characters are beyond time. They're outside time. And yes, I think that's one of the uses we have in this expansion of the technologies, that we really get to wake up of this illusion of linear time, and it helps to see all these other possibilities in the new media.
Well, they offered a terrarium, the aristocrats to the artists and thinkers. I was using the word terrarium, a mini ecology for the universe in their castles, wherever they did the workshops or initiations. Did you hear Ayn talk about the terrarium? You did?
Yes.
Okay, so they were teaching this, and Ayn's doing it again.
Yes, in a way, it's like they were cultivating all these possibilities in the human collective mind.
But there isn't a collective mind. That would be in language. Language. So here's a thought I had today I'm presenting to you. I touched on this near the end of our trip. And Frank the First And all those people you're studying from 500 years ago haven't happened yet. Maybe you put the proviso in, they haven't completed what they have, but they need us to show up. That's why I said we were waiting for them. So let's not think limited to thinking that they were doing that with Da Vinci back then. What they're doing to get this picture on our bottle, they haven't done yet. Change your arrow of time.
Yes, and, so, and that will make sense with all these work in progress buildings,
yeah,
like the Louvre and the big street.
Right.
That is also the same thing is in the in Versailles, with the same proportions. Le Notre made the big avenue, the one in which the Arc de Triomphe is from the Louvre to the castle of Saint-Germain-des-Laye.
Yeah.
And all these things are, like you said, not finished. And,
but they may not have started yet. They're waiting for us to do something. Oop.
Yes, and a lot of the gardens, when you see them from above, they look like circuits or like some, like
electronic
sort of
circuit.
Like the... Yeah, like the circle crops.
Yeah, crop
and
circles, yeah.
I was wondering what are the designs in Chambord in the garden, and by coincidence I saw some of the electromagnetic the movements of current look like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, ooh.
Right.
So one may think it's a coincidence, but...
Not likely. Okay, so we have Bert here. Do you want to say something, Bert, to this? Or what you've heard?
No, it's interesting how she tied it into what she was been researching and what we were discussing earlier.
Well, it fits if you say we're talking about time.
Yeah.
And no time. That's the only thing that I see overlapping here, but that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you,
well,
you implemented...
Well, I just listened to the last segment. I don't know what you were talking about before.
What do you mean? You didn't listen to the last... Oh, did you hear Ion talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you weren't... When we were talking to Katie, you didn't hear that.
No.
Okay, so that was all, that was interesting, but it was not about what Ion's talking about. So someone's, I think it's you, Bert, you're moving your head or something and it's making a sound.
My headset's sliding, that's all right. I'll adjust it.
Yeah, it keeps sliding, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so I'm looking at the notes. Let's see if we can... see what Ion talked about. Just remind us. That was 96.
Bob, am I coming through like this?
Yeah.
Is it sounding okay? Because I'm on speakerphone.
No, it's okay. Yep.
I really like the bit about the eye seeing what the eye can't see, and like the mystery landscape is not a mystery when you discover it.
Yeah.
And how that relates to that, it's not that Bob, not that you're not getting it, you're just trying to swallow it. It's because
right.
Your eye already sees it like that. So the complexity of what goes on in your mind versus the eye that doesn't see it yet is completely different.
And it's really...
Different from what?
Different from the eye that does... So, if the eye doesn't see it yet, the unascended mind that doesn't see what you see, they don't need to dissect everything. They don't go into every detail like you do.
Right.
Because of...
Well...
Yeah.
But like, would you agree that, or anybody here, that I don't take things literally, maybe it goes in literally, but I've got so many different means of interpreting it. I have to listen to it again, decide which one I'm favoring in my interpretation of it.
Well, Bob, yes, here's what.
Like a vortex of tactility.
Yeah, vortex of tactility.
I was struck by, you said you've disappeared, or you or Ion said you've disappeared if it becomes ungraspable to, I believe it was to the eye.
Yeah.
Do you remember that statement?
Yeah, not exactly, but I remember that being those words.
Yeah, it was before talking about the degrees of separation and how that relates to visual. And Ion said, if you have the physical and the non-physical as one and you don't understand this, then I miss some of it. And then there's the degree of where the connection takes place. But what struck me is that idea of we're so visually biased that it's dropping the visual. Part of it is dropping the visual to disappear from the chemical body.
Yeah, that's what one of his main projects is. Yeah, he's trying to play down the visual.
But maybe it's not dropping the visual. Maybe it's just allowing the other to come through, whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you drop the visual?
I would like to comment on the eye.
Have you ever heard this? I just want to check. Bert, is this new stuff? I never played this before, did I?
No, this is new. Brand new, Bob.
Okay, good. All right. What were you saying, Bert? Let me check with Nick. What are you saying, Nick?
So what I'm saying is that we can't get away from the visual, Bob. So surely, you know, I'm trying to find is to, in a sense, overlay it by allowing the world around us to not be impacted by the visual. So
you got it right there, allowing the other senses to be part of your awareness, the proprioceptive, the kinesic, the acoustic, what Ion says you can't see.
In a sense, is it not making an agreement with yourself, Bob? You kind of got to go, okay, I can see portals, or you know what I'm saying? And then there's this I factor, which was also brought through in that archive, which you and Ion were talking about. You've got to kind of remove the I, that's the I, as not an EYE, so that you relax and allow those things or whatever they might be to supersede the I aspect of it.
It is EYE. You're saying it's not EYE.
No, I'm saying that the EYE is your visual bias. If we get if I say I am this, or I limit myself from now exposing other possibilities into my experience.
Okay, so look, listen to this, Nick. So that's what McLuhan's saying all the time. We have a visual bias, been around for a long time, thousands of years, and we lost our sensitivity to the other senses.
Yes.
The electric media brings back the other senses. We got to live with it, and that prepares, now I'm saying this part, that prepares for Ion to come through.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and it's dropping. It's awareness of that visual bias and dropping that way in order to create room for an awareness of the tactility. The queen is tactility, and that's that combination of everything non-visual.
All possibilities non-visible that might not be visible to the eye, EYE.
But what opens you up might, is visual.
Someday.
It can open up as visual, though. That's the, you know.
You might hear Ion say someday, maybe Bert remembers, he said you have to see something before you get it. Do you remember that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Your mind has to see it. So I don't know what
is. Well, and then, okay, so later Ion says the eye, which is the window to the soul. That's a whole different,
me. And that's before we had the right definition of soul. That's a few months into, you know.
It doesn't matter.
May I say something?
Okay, the Illuminati lady would like to say something.
Yes, otherwise I fall asleep.
Well, we must keep her awake.
I can go. Yes, there is this meme of the walk from the darkness to the light in all the Mr. Schools.
Yeah.
And if you look in the Mont Saint-Michel, it's about the apocalypse. It's like a pyramid. And inside, one of these aristocrats initiated said there is this entrance to Agartha that was warded by a red dragon in that place. And on top, they built a cathedral, a church to the Black Virgin.
Yeah.
And then on top, they built a Benedictine convent and then the church for Saint Michael. So again, in that place, there is this trip from the darkness,
yeah,
that is the matter, up to the light, and is crowned by Saint Michael killing the red dragon. And they say the red dragon is actually the symbol of the animal that has control of all elements, water, air, fire, and...
That would be visual space. One thing about those four buildings on top of each other, that's going toward the light, but it's a light built on literacy, which turns out to blind people, and they got to go back to the basement under electric conditions of the first building.
So, that's why I say how this eye domination is reflected in these mystery schools and in
right.
the path. First, they show you there is like a labyrinth, because you are on your path, but when you don't have the goal to get to the light, you're just walking in labyrinth. And they
right.
think when you want to ascend, then you have the right path, and it's the straight path, like the column, that gets you faster to ascension.
Yeah.
Those are like their symbols. And then you have the symbol of, in the American dollar, you see the eye is flying on top of the pyramid. And some say because the real masters are aliens or from parallel worlds. That's
but Roxy,
why
does that
like,
not trap us back in the alphabet? Does that not keep us in the alphabet and in the visual bias?
Yes,
well,
we're trying to
Nick,
transcend that.
These are effects of the Gutenberg galaxy.
Right. Now, Roxy, you heard Ion talk. I finally got him to talk a bit back then about the Gutenberg effect and the electric effect, and he kind of went along with it. This is where McLuhan is the final secret society, preparing for the real secret society of Ion. But Ion, you can look at the four levels of the Mont Saint-Michel, and you can see it going from dark to light backwards as they thought they were getting clearer, and yet that was just a visual space bias.
Yes, but my point is that Ion chose as his logo the pyramid and the sun. That's,
yes.
again, mm-hmm. like a remake of those memes.
But see, that's the pyramid that's coming. We're looking at social mortar, and Ion's never really talking about social mortar. That pyramid image refers to something else that's not even in our language, I guess.
Mm. Are we not living in an upside-down world right now?
He also talks about the mountain and the Chinese.
Yeah, and you have that in that museum.
Yes, and that's why Cocteau in his movie, he's always talking about the orders, and he's asking, who gives the orders? Who gives the orders? Because now we didn't know, and he also talks a lot in general in his work about the fact that the poet is only obeying, there is like a secret force that is telling him what to do, and that all the works are already done, and he's just obeying.
He's trying to
order.
Show that he's entering the world of mortar, of art and culture, and trying to show the non-physical ionic view. So
are these not the breadcrumbs that we need to follow back to ascension? I mean, is that what Roxy's trying to point out?
No, are these that they cultivate so that we can visualize things.
Say that again, please.
Ion said they always cultivated things like crumbs we're finding.
Yeah.
To visualize things that otherwise there is no point of them talking about these things if we cannot overlay them.
Roxy, if we're visualizing, are we not trapped in that alphabet that that was the veil, that was the downfall of man? So surely if these are all bringing us back to the visual bias, the visual, how we see it, how can we then now see what we can't see?
Because when you activate your knowing, you don't need to overlay or visualize anymore. You just know.
You know, okay.
But,
so it's that knowing that these statues and edifices, etc., point us to our knowing. Is that what is being said here?
Yes. I don't think all these things are put there like markers for us to remember or way back.
Okay, so then does one individually get an aha moment when you see there's a circle at the top of a church steeple and you go, aha, that's a portal to another world?
Well, it doesn't have to be a portal. It's just knowing.
A circle. Knowing.
Well, okay, so Roxy is reviewing the visualizings and now understanding what they are referring to, so that she can drop the visualizing because she's mastered it.
Yeah. But I want to try and get back to the timelessness of your conversation with Ion, Bob, because at the end of the day, if we are still stuck in time, we're still stuck in the alphabet, and if we're still stuck in both, we can't progress upward, downward. It's drone flesh, just running around, acting and responding according to what the Android meme is doing to us.
Yes.
So
that's why you got to master the social mortar. Roxy's emphasizing the secret society language that entered social mortar.
Yes. But there's no time, so that's relevant to us now.
Yes, and there never was time.
So if we get out of the illusion of time and the illusion of the alphabet, whatever has happened has been a happening all the time.
Yeah.
Time in inverted commas.
Yeah.
So those pointers that Roxy's bringing up now, which are however many hundred years ago, if you put it on a timeline, which we want to avoid because that's like the alphabet and that's like there is no time.
Yeah.
So the step aside from those anomalies, if you want to call them, or the veil that was pushed upon us when the printing press began, the question is, what are we, as we ascend more and more, we tend to lose track of all time. I find that in my days,
right,
there is a timelessness all the time. There is no time because I'm doing so much more in the timelessness of it. But I don't refer back other than to the clock to say, oh, there's a marker. I need to meet somebody at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, see, when you engage others, when you gain social mortar, then the time comes in. But you're not engaging that much.
So now, by unpacking
I got an idea for you and for Roxy. The printing press hasn't happened yet.
That's it. See, now, okay, so now back to
the...
You're not allowed to flip it like
now,
that right now.
I don't
even
care if I'm listening.
Back to the recording.
Roxy barked. I want to hear what Roxy's bark led to. What were you going to say, Roxy?
Roxy, your bark.
There's nothing yet of money, of the material money.
What about
so
it?
They they announced, like in January the 1st, there is no more bank secrecy. And one will not be able to just take money of your account. There are like limits,
yeah,
how much you can.
This is 2016,
and if there is a bank in problems, you cannot take anything, so that they don't go bankrupt. But these changes are actually provoking this change in the currency, and like the most rich person in Mexico said, Carlos Slim said, it will be better to introduce a universal salary for everybody instead of having these government programs, because there is so much corruption, everything gets stolen. So it's better everybody gets salary and the government doesn't
manage. The Chinese are doing that now.
Anymore.
The Chinese are implementing that now. By 2020, they'll have a credit system whereby everybody is now measured and monitored based on their behavior.
Yeah,
holy
I've
crap.
Been
that
watching
just,
that for 40 years.
They want to introduce this no money system now. Because
which would be world government, maybe, and the beast.
The end of the Gutenberg galaxy, I think, is really marked with the.
Or the beginning of the printing press, as Bob has just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pointing out the printing press hasn't happened because you got to understand that when you know there's no time. When you really believe it, feel it, then a lot of your alphabetic linear historical dating cannot apply. So pyramids haven't happened yet. The printing press hasn't happened yet. You can't convince the youngsters today there was a printing press.
Yes, and we were hypnotized. Like we
and that's what Ion talked about. Ion talked about the proximity of the eye as vortex.
Yeah.
And all the parallels of that vortex. So when you're
that
aware
explain...
of it.
Sorry,
but what was Roxy just saying? Roxy was trying to say something else.
Yeah, Ion mentioned there that we think time is money. Because we believe in linear time, but as soon as this concept is no more, the money is also one of the effects of this is gravitational waves that they prove there is no time. Is that there is no money actually? We don't really lose money.
There's no movement. The eye recognized that there was no movement. But that was the reality, that there was no making of money. There was no more movement in that realm. And that's when, and then Ion said, which eye did McLuhan say it was? And that you started talking about the eye as vortex. That it's, there is no time.
Yeah.
There's different visual biases, Bob. There's different,
there are books.
Ways of seeing.
There are books. There are books.
There are books, yeah. Yeah.
There are books.
But then the placement of ancient artifacts, Bob, in the ocean that were placed there 2 or 3 weeks ago or yesterday, if there's no time, what's that about? I mean, so you find this 1,000-year-old, pyramid.
It's about you,
Nick.
It's all about you. They place that there for you to discover. It's little statues for Nick. Take it that way. Why wouldn't it be
about
you?
Yeah. I mean, what about those stars in the sky that align for the first time ever in the world?
Yeah, once Nick showed up.
And they were written down in
Revelation. Let's make Nick the prophet. Nick showed up, and everything changed.
Yeah, it's because I showed up, Bob. You know what? I showed up, and I built the pyramids, and they called me Arsenal, and...
Yeah.
I can see into other portals and other worlds and, all those good things. So,
oh, no, you're doing something different.
All because of me.
You're new.
Well,
you're changing.
Them. I'm new, yeah.
You're suggesting to yourself something suggestible that you didn't suggest to yourself before. Bob, you said
because
in that recording.
Because I was hooked into the printing press, Gene. I've been completely conditioned, manipulated by the printing press. Now I'm told it hasn't even arrived. Now it's just arriving.
You need to understand how it had to happen to you yet.
You might be absolutely correct.
This is first putting Oxy to sleep. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it is about me. I mean, you know, help.
There's no day.
I mean,
there's no end of the day. Get rid of that phrase. I don't like that phrase.
Visual bias. Yeah.
At the end of the night.
Time shit.
At the end of the hour.
Yeah, see, you're going to have nothing to say. If we get rid of most of your vocabulary, you'll have no words there, Nick.
Bob,
it's all based on visual bias, what you say.
Quit trying to draw conclusions, God damn it.
Bob, it'll start off with...
What's the song, Roxy?
That we're going to make phrases like suggest, like the ones he puts on the radio, that seem nonsense. Like,
yeah.
No,
well,
you're saying
when?
I don't get what you're saying. You're saying we're putting phrases on the radio? What's that?
It'll be
well, because Cocteau says the poet uses a language that is not dead, that is not alive, to find other poets. So this is like the new song.
Is the payday putting phrases on? We put phrases on the air.
Yeah, we're going to do this type of verses, like suggest is saying on the radio, like when silence go backwards is more effective.
Yeah.
One time, when silence go backward is more effective.
When silence.
Yeah,
when
he says phrases like that that make no sense.
Wait, Roxy. When silence what?
Mm.
Okay, let me say this.
That's a poem in the movie.
Yeah, the test in the movie.
The Testament. No, that's in Orfeo. That's in Orfeo.
Orpheus.
That's in the veil.
The guy's listening to
Orpheus.
The radio, and they're saying absurd phrases. And he's the famous poet, but he's sort of obsolete. He's listening to radio, and nobody understands what the voices are saying on the radio, but he's fascinated by them. It's actually pretty prophetic of Payday or of Ion. I mean, there's no radio show that talks as much as we do, and a lot of it, people don't know what we're talking about, which is an interesting experience.
Well, it's a different language. It's a different vocabulary, Bob.
Yeah.
The poet, Orpheus, says, I know this voice is talking only to me. And he cannot stop listening to that voice in the radio.
Yeah, he is showing the Ionic experience. Cocteau, yeah, 50 years ago or more, showed the Ionic experience of listening to us on the radio, and he's totally fascinated. He doesn't know what they're saying, and everybody else listening aren't fascinated. They don't know what the words mean. So it is interesting that he projected that the Ionic radio experience. Called it new poetry.
Yeah.
But what's the relevance of that, Bob, at the moment?
What's the relevance?
Yeah.
Well, one of the goals is the new song, is to learn how to speak, is to, like Toto said, to retrieve this language.
Right. If I want to be Ionic, I'll go, well, that movie obviously hasn't happened yet. Even though I thought I saw it, I could start playing with time in my answers to you. Or it could be just straightforward. It's pretty remarkable that Cocteau laid that out. It's a very
The Testament of Orfeo starts with a character that looks like a Saint-Germain character.
Yeah.
That goes to see the professor first when he's a child, then when he's a baby, then he's very old and dies, and he gets the ammunition, and then he goes to the now. And he gives him the ammunition he needs to prove his theory of reincarnation.
Right.
So there
That's is, all in the
he's
movie,
presenting
guys.
That...
Wow.
Like he says, oh, I just met you a few moments ago when you died. I got this for you. And he says, do you remember this? And he says, no, I have a very bad memory for future events. So he's playing with this no time.
I just bought the book with the transcripts of that Testament and Blood of a Poet, not Orpheus. So I'm going to just read the first, how does it open? I haven't read this yet, but opening it, it says, before, this is for the Testament of Orpheus, before the credits, which do not bear the names of the actors, the last images from the film Orpheus are projected. So his previous film Orpheus, done 9 years earlier, about 1950, he begins the new film. I didn't notice that, Roxy. He begins the new film with a carryover from the previous film.
Yes, they show the princess Ortovis, the angel Ortovis.
Yeah.
They broke the laws of this world, so they have to be punished, and they're taken away. So that's the way it ended. The Orpheus movie ends with that, and the Testament of Orpheus is like continuing.
Yeah. And so
what happened to them? What was the punishment?
So look at this. I don't remember this when I saw it. It says the Testament of Orpheus. There it is in capital letters. Or another title, in quotes, don't ask me why. Do not ask me why is the alternative
That's
title.
That's another meme by Cousteau because he says we're always trying to understand. But yes, there is no way to understand because there are many things we don't know. Like he was aware of portaling and all other things that most men don't know. So everybody's always telling him, don't ask. There is no way to know, so stop asking.
Yeah.
And Ion comes and we have to ask because they say in Hermetic tradition, you are supposed to be not to say anything you know. You can put it in plain sight, but like encoded. And only if somebody asks you, then you can tell that person anything he wants to know. But only if the person asks. So that's...
Okay, so that's the background. So I think, Bert, you had a question. When was this made, or can you
see it? When were the movies made? What year?
The first one's called Blood of a Poet. And that was in 33 or something, I think. Right, way back there, right, Roxy? 33?
Wow.
Let's see, 1930. No, maybe 1946.
No,
is that right?
Yeah.
33.
Wow.
So then, in 1950, he makes Orpheus. Then 9 years later, 1959, he makes The Testament of Orpheus. Or Do Not Ask Me Why. So I'm reading the text of The Testament, the third movie, which I found pretty amazing as I watched it, and Roxy translated the French for me. So I got the basics. But then I wanted to get every, like Ian says, I got to get every word, right? So I got to get the transcript.
Right.
So after he says the title, I guess it's Cocteau writing this, he says, After the credits, I begin to draw Orpheus' profile in chalk on a blackboard. And you see a handsome guy. Does he have a wig on or nice hair? And he's drawing a portrait. He has a real nice, cute guy playing himself. Okay? After the credits, I begin to draw Orpheus' profile in chalk on a blackboard. Then he says, I speak. But it is not obviously Cocteau, right, Roxy? Just this young, pretty artist, but he's claiming that's him. So he says this. I guess he speaks over the audio while you watch the drawing being done by the nice artist. He says, it is the filmmaker's privilege to be able to allow a large number of people to dream the same dream together and to show us, moreover, the optical illusions of unreality with the rigor of realism. He's going to show unreality with a great level of realism. In short, not surrealism. In short, it is an admirable vehicle for poetry. So film is an admirable vehicle for poetry. So he's confronting the literate poetry world and saying, no, there's some, you can make poetry out of film. Then he says, my film is nothing other than a striptease show consisting of removing my body bit by bit and revealing my soul quite naked. Now remember how Yoko had the clothes cut off her. Ion talked about the windows of the soul. Then he says, for there is a considerable public interested in the world of shadows. Starve for the more real than reality. So that's the non-visual, which one day will become the sign of our times.
Mm.
Oh, the ion. Will
yes, and the audience of the shadows is again what David Lynch also takes a lot from Cocteau. This thing from characters in the darkness that are then illuminated. He uses that a lot. People coming out of the darkness.
And, yeah, it's like Lynch recognized the truth of Cocteau, so he took what he could to make his own version of it with his unique perspective.
Things. And also the dream in Orpheus and in the Testament, the characters think that, like the professor is going to think he was dreaming, and Orpheus and the wife, when at the end they think it was all a dream.
Yeah.
But they were actually in parallel worlds. So Cocteau is showing when you dream, you're not dreaming.
And the optical illusions of film, the optical illusions of unreality can have the rigor of realism.
Yeah, so when he says the film helps us dream a dream together, it's like he's taking you to a parallel world. He's showing you
maybe
this.
It's also the hot medium, the mass media film colonizes the imagination of individuals so that they put themselves into the same terrarium and watch it unfold, the story of the film. There's something that the TV generation will object to being put into the same dream. Okay, so then he says, Here is the legacy of a poet to the successive groups of people who have always supported him. So successive groups, Illuminati groups that initiated someone with expressive abilities for the Gutenberg galaxy. Is that what he's saying? Here's the legacy of a poet to the successive groups of people who have always supported him. Then he says, a tangle of smoke dissolves slowly and curls out through a soap bubble that appears to have come out of the point of a knife. My hand, the knife, the bubble leave the screen and give way to an empty studio where all the elements of the set will appear in succession. We see a young boy sitting at a school desk while he continues to write. The poet, dressed in Louis the 15th style, that's the Saint Germain character, appears and moves towards the desk after throwing down his three-cornered hat, which disappears into the distance. And then it begins. I don't want to go into the transcript, but that's a pretty open, neat opening, and people didn't know what was going to happen. So in the end, they decide this is surrealism. But if you know Ion stuff, you start to see the imagery relates to straightforward Ion initiation.
Yes, and everything he's saying that these castles are not finished and they were...
right. He shows them making a painting. He says it's not finished. His films aren't finished yet, even though you've watched two of them. Yeah,
and when we go to Chambord, we encounter these Renaissance people.
These people that...
making a party.
That Ion said, we show up, but we're waiting for them. We must have come back to that place 100 times, and they weren't there. And then finally they were there. But we blocked out memory of that. But I like this idea the printing press hasn't happened yet. If there's no time, that's true. Okay,